Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Monday, and it's 11:30 in some places, 12:30 in some places, and I won't go down the list of time zones. This is Dr. Deborah, and today I want to talk about, wow, America and Christianity, and how in the world, let's see, a sermonette. For Christian Americans and Americans. Now, I said that I don't like to preach. That's what I said in my note. But if you listen to me today, you might kind of get a piece of a sermon. That's what's called a sermonette. But I've just been thinking about our country and thinking about our supposed cherished beliefs, and Christianity is one of those things. And I'm baffled, everybody. I am so baffled by how we could say that in one breath, and mostly on Sunday or when we fill out surveys, but in our everyday response to other people, in this case, black and brown people, I'm talking about racism, it just doesn't show up as much. So as I gave this thought, I started to think about what does Christianity mean. And I was born in a Christian household, and for us that meant that we believed in God, we tried to do the right things by others. My parents sent us to church. They seldom went. We always went to church on Easter, and of course that means new digs. Only sin I ever heard my parents mention was taking the Lord's name in vain. Whatever that meant, I still don't know what they meant by that. But as soon as I allowed myself to contemplate that idea and type those words into my computer, taking the Lord's name in vain, you know what? I think it means, well, vanity means something that's useless or no good. So, wow. So, is it that my parents were saying it's a sin to use the Lord's name when you really don't mean it? It has no meaning, no merit. You just haphazardly throwing it out there. This is Dr. Deborah. If you want to contact me, you can do so at Dr. Deborah Nixon, Dr. Deborah at drdeborahnixon.com. All right. So taking the Lord's name in vain, that is America's sin. That is our sin. That is why. Okay. Let me just back up a little bit, because I described earlier what my family called Christianity, and basically we did one thing, but we said it, but we didn't do much to back it up. Not much. All right. So when you, wow, you know what that means too, guys? It means that my parents were true Americans. Yes. The vanity of their Christianity was that it was mostly in name and not in deed. But their lives, so that means you say one thing and you live another. And that makes a whole lot of sense to me. So America, we proclaim that we believe in God. We profess ourselves a Christian nation. But when it comes down to racism, when it comes down to equitable behavior and equitable benefits for black Americans, we don't walk the talk. Basically, we take the Lord's name in vain. We say that we're Christians. We say that we believe in the anointed, the consecrated one, the Christ. That's what Christ means. But when you look at the life of this head of the Christian church, not the Pope, when you look at the life of the Christ, of Jesus, this is what you see. You see radical love and radical demonstration of beliefs that were he was fearless in his faith and that he was willing to die for what he believed. He was very caring. He was a friend. He was a wise counselor and teacher. He was a man of peace and of forgiveness. And then he was a man of strength, integrity. You know, you could depend on him to do what he said he was going to do. And then he was very nurturing and caring for children. And my favorite word, he was inclusive. He had women in his entourage or on his team that were poor people, uneducated people, outcast people. He was all about others, the others of his time. He pulled them in, and I'm talking about the most disdained among them. And then he was charitable, giving without expecting. All right, and then he was political / non-political, denouncing greed and abuse of power, speaking truth to that power, no matter what the cost was. And we know the ultimate cost was his dying, his crucifixion, his murder, if you will. And then he was a spiritual person, untainted by the things. You know, there's a scripture that says he didn't even have a place to lay his head, and that was because he couldn't afford it or couldn't have created something to live in. It was because he chose to live a life of poverty, and he chose to live a life of service and giving. So consider now, when you think about radical love, fearless faith, caring friendship, wise counsel, peace, forgiveness, integrity, nurturing, inclusiveness, charitable, spiritual. That's the Christ. Now, how then can a nation who proclaims to follow the tenets, the beliefs, the ideals of this slain Savior, how can these attributes help us in regards to racism? And as I list those attributes of Christ, I think about those of us, Black and white, in this country who proclaim to be Christians. You know, I know Black people, I'm one, you know, we think we got a monopoly on Christ and what's good, and because we are the victims, we think, of this racist society. And I would submit that the average white person in this country is a victim of the same. But let's both groups think about what it means to be this, to not take the Lord's name in vain, to in truth and in honesty and in integrity embrace what it means to be a Christian, to love radically. And to love radically is to do all of the things that I mentioned that the Christ did and stood for and died for, because he was not afraid to do the things that he knew was right and say the things that he knew was right. And so let me just say, if you are a white Christian listening to me right now, I want to challenge you, the leaders of your church, to ask them questions about what would Jesus do, as it became a cliche. What would Jesus do about this racist society, this racist situation that we're in? What would Jesus, more importantly, what would Jesus have us to do, you to do, as a white person in this country with some semblance of personal control, some, and definitely more than the average Black person? I would challenge your leaders, because for over 200 and some years, or plus, if you really want to know what good church people did after church in the South, look up lynching and see the announcements in church bulletins and see people in church clothes, suits and ties with children watching Black men burn as they hang from trees. That's what they did after church. And then probably would go in and have dinner like that was just sport, which is what it was. But these are Christians we're talking about, all right? So I would challenge you to consider that. If you call yourself a Christian and if you take those ideas to heart, if you really believe that, you're not just saying it, I think of two examples. I taught diversity at a South Florida university for over about 15 years, and I've had a few white students, Christian white students, who basically challenge themselves, and two come to mind. And the one that comes to my mind right now, she just could not believe that our country is still in the place that it's in. And, of course, this same young woman acknowledged her racist ideologies. And then there was another one who was a devout Christian who went the extra mile at projects because she said she could not in good conscience hold those ideas in her heart. She had to do something extra to get herself to a different place where those things were concerned. I would say these two young women, both white women, were doing what they could do to not take the Lord's name in vain, to not say one thing and do another thing, to not call on Jesus as Savior and then turn around and allow some other black person to be disenfranchised right in front of them. It takes practice. It takes practice. So let's see, guys. Of course, this is On the Real with Dr. D. If you want to reach out to me, if you would like to get some coaching, if you would like some training related to diversity and inclusion, you can email me at drdeborahspeaks@gmail.com. So if I could pick this list of attributes of Christ and apply it to the Christian's response to racism, radical love would cover it all, but that's kind of general, and I know how much you guys like things to be specific and concrete. So let's talk about, how about inclusion? The people that associated themselves with Jesus and the people that Jesus invited into his inner space and the people that he spent his days helping were those who were outcast, those who were poor, those women who were much less than second-class citizens in his time. But he was there inviting them in and reassuring them and redeeming them and letting them know that they were of value, that they were loved, that they were cared for. Inclusiveness is, I know it's really difficult for people who think that they are smarter, better, more educated, more everything than everyone else. And I speak, and speaking as a classes person, that I know I can be. I know what it's like to have education and to think you have a certain kind of proper way of being and struggle with people who don't seem to have that same kind of behavior qualities. I know what that's like. But I want to invite you that if you call yourself a Christian, and I mean in deed, not just in name, then challenge yourself. Challenge those who are leaders of your church, black or white. What are we doing? What are we doing to bridge this gap? What are we doing on this level? We are Christians in a Christian nation. We have the right to speak our belief system. What are we doing to make a change? And then at work, what are you doing? Are you being inclusive in the way you treat other people, people you think are not as intelligent and smart as you? Or are you just shunning them and pretending that they're not there, not listening when they open their mouth to speak? This has been Dr. Deborah, Dr. D, and if you are in America and you call yourself a Christian, don't you think it's time you stop taking Lord's name in vain? Stop saying one thing and doing another? This has been a sermonette I'm sure you've heard before, but I'm inviting you. If you want to be the kind of Christian in your heart, as the old spiritual says, then what you do is you challenge yourself, because it's not going to happen until you make it happen. This has been On the Real with Dr. D. Dr. D. Amen, everybody. I see you next Monday. Until then, you already know, take good care.